Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, just for a moment. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. How many want to enter into his rest? It's a wonderful place to be in the rest in the Holy Ghost. When you find true rest in the Spirit, when you've partook of the rest in God, there is no other rest. You can find tranquil and peaceful locations, but until you found the peace of God, Nothing can compare to it. See, the peace of God isn't relative to the tranquil locations, the little stream running, perfect little things. Those are all wonderful things, and God allows us to be partakers of those things. But God could give us peace, as the word says, that surpasses all understanding in the midst of the hurricane, the tornado, the flood, the fire. I would say when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into that fire, there was something in their heart when they stood before the adversary that knew that they thought they had the power to take their life, but they had peace. Because they had done submitted to something greater than that man, than that king, than the laws of that land. They had their mind made up. I like it when I find men and women alike that got their mind made up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to serve you, Lord. But what we do is we want to serve God with conditions. Well, Lord, I'll serve you, but I'm going to do this. You're already on your way to hell. You never approach the King of all kings and the Lord of lords in any kind of a matter. Well, Lord, I'm going to go to college. Lord, I've got a career. Lord, I got a job. Lord, this is what I'm going to do. When you take even a job without seeking the divine counsel of God, you are a heathen. Now we got to make allowances for little babies that don't know no better. But sometimes little babies are hard to reach because they're so puffed up in their little fleshly mind that they got it all worked out. I said something the other night in teaching and preaching. I said, you know, I've marveled. I've brought people to God that didn't know God. And just a little bit of time and a couple Google searches and stuff, they want to come and say, well, brother, you're an heir. That's pretty interesting. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. And I could take you in the Bible and I could read some things to you and I could take you to another place in the Bible that it would seem like it would contradict it. And there's no contradictions in the word, but it would seem like it unless you know how to rightly divide the word. You got to know what dimension that God's speaking to. You say, I don't know about this dimension stuff. Well, the thing is, brethren, is this. The Bible said these three are one, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Said these three are one. These three are one. So there's a dimension right there. There's three of them, but they're one. Only way you'll ever understand that is by dimension. By understanding differentiation of the dimension of a body, soul, spirit. Natural, physical, and spiritual. And then you could start understanding God. Because God's invisible. No man has ever seen him. Invisible. But then yet he come and walked among men. He said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when the Father's invisible? He said, but when I've been walking with you so long, the invisible Father was manifested in a fleshly tabernacle walking among them. That's just a little foundation of thought for a moment. But then yet, we could stand before God and we've made such a mess of our lives. We've stumbled, we've staggered, we've failed. Failed him, and then we stand before him in some kind of an arrogancy of some kind of a thinking that we have some kind of an understanding or a revelation. Come on, saints. That's man. All men's hearts fashioned alike. You see, the problem with man is education. What happened at the very beginning to bring curse to mankind? They ate of a tree of knowledge. A tree of knowledge. Come on, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. There was a deception. The woman was deceived. The Bible said Adam wasn't deceived or in the transgression, but the woman was. A lot could be said there, couldn't it? A lot of things could be said there. Let's read Hebrews for just a moment here. I think we made it through the first verse. We're going to go to maybe some other passages the Lord allow. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now listen to that. It didn't profit them. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says, Andy Beachy. I'll tell you what it says in Genesis, the third chapter. But it didn't profit them nothing. Because they didn't mix it with faith. And then you can say, well, what is faith? What's faith? It's invisible. The Father's invisible. Faith is invisible. And you say, how am I going to mix something invisible? So then the preacher comes and he tries to teach you to see the invisible. And you mock him and you fight him and you do those things, and all he's trying to do is help you to see in another realm that you think you got all worked out. But you've never mixed it with faith. And you know what the Bible says about faith? Without faith, it's imputed to you as sin. And what is sin when it's imputed to you? The Bible says the sting of sin is death. So without faith, in other words, you're going to die. Faith. You have to have faith. You must have faith. You have to have faith. Without faith, it's imputed to you as sin. Without faith, you'll never know God. You'll never see God. So I'd say faith is a pretty important thing. But then yet you got an ideology sometimes and you've made it into a theology and you think, well, God loves everybody. That's your first life from hell right there. There's no Bible for that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, everybody knows that Bible and that verse. But see, they don't really understand God. Well, pastor, preacher, don't talk to us like we're ignorant. Well, the Apostle Paul made a statement, I'd have you not to be ignorant. But you know, ignorant, we've made it into an insult when somebody says, and they usually say it in an insulting way. But you know, I'm a pilot, you know, and I'm not ignorant to the fact of how to fly an airplane, but I would be ignorant to the fact of how to fly the space shuttle. It's got some systems in it I was never trained. So I think I better at least come to some kind of a revelation that I'm ignorant to the fact to fly that. And before I attempt to fly it, go get some training. Wouldn't you think that would be smart? Is anybody in here ignorant to some things? Yeah. We all are, brother. He said, I'd have you not to be ignorant. And then yet, because of we're so polished and puffed up in our own abilities, and we have a lack of submission one to another, a lack of submission to any headship, a lack of submission to authority. That's why our prisons are full, brethren. It's because the people lack a submission. Policeman pulls them. What are you pulling me over for? I wasn't speeding. What they need to do is shut their mouth and say, sir, you're being paid to do what you're going to do. And if you wasn't, then prove it through the court system. But you don't need to be arguing with that police officer. I think it'd do you no good. He's authority. You're going to submit to him. And if you don't, he'll take the billy club out and beat you upside the head. You might have needed it. Come on. The lack of submission. The Bible talks about, I could turn you over to the book of Revelation. We could talk about, I'm going to finish reading a little more over here in Hebrews. But the Bible speaks about Laodicea. It speaks of them and reproves the church of Laodicea. And this is the time and the age that we're in right now. The interpretation of Laodicea is people's rights. That's what's destroyed America. That's what is going to destroy this world. But you know what? In the mind of God, in the mind of Revelation, you know what, people? You got no rights. You only have one thing and one thing only, and that is to submit yourself unto our Lord and our God. Amen? That's it. And you say, man, well, that sounds like a dictatorship. Praise God. We need a little bit of that in America. Because the people have been making too many decisions because they gave them the rights to make decisions. And they've made enough decisions to destroy the nation. Instead of having men that are God-fearing men that have prayed and sought the counsel of God to set the order. You say, you don't believe in a democracy? I didn't say that. But I'm telling you that your democracy has led to the failure of a great land. And you say, America's still the greatest country in the world. Well, that's not really working out so well anymore. There's some nations that are pulling the lead in even benevolence and different things away from America. Because America's failing. Well, you know, bless God, I'm a patriot, my friend, you know, and my granddaddy served in the military. So did mine. So did my daddy. So did my uncles. I got a grandson in there. I could be just as patriotic as you. But the Bible said that I'm not of this world. I'm from the kingdom of God. The Bible says, talking about you and I, it says we're ambassadors for Christ. Now the thing is if I didn't know Brother Bo here and he came in, I said, "Hi, sir, my name's Pastor Rob. I'm the pastor of this church. Who are you?" And he says, "Well, I'm an ambassador from Africa." And I say, "Okay. You know what that means? He's not an American. He is an African, but he's here in America. He is an ambassador representing the African people in Africa, here in America. The ones that are over here in this land, he is an ambassador for them. If there's any law issues or things there, he's there to represent his people." Are you getting the idea what I'm saying? I am not from America. Yes, I was born here, but I'm an ambassador for Christ because I've been born again and I got another father now. You know, you say, "Well, that's disrespectful to your father, Brother Howard." No, it isn't disrespectful to him. That was my natural father, but I got a heavenly father. Amen? My natural father's temporal. My heavenly father's eternal. You see, we got to start rending some dimensional things here and understanding God. And what we do is we go to our mind of training and education and we trust it. That's the worst thing you could do. It'll kill you and put you in hell. You got to somewhere find God. For you can walk with God. You study the scriptures and you look. And the Bible teaches us to do that. But when you study it out of your intellectual concepts of education, it'll lead you into a trap. That's why the whole religious world is in such an array right now, in such a disarray, maybe I should say. It's a mess. "Well, you got to go to church on Sunday." Praise God. But then yet another one over here says, "No, it's Saturday." And they got Bible for it. They both have Bible for it. So then they sit here and bang heads. But see, it takes somebody with the mind of revelation, the mind of God, and the mind of Christ to differentiate this for we could be settled in the scriptures and in the word. "Well, I believe we should be sprinkled." Some baptized babies, they sprinkle water on them. Where's their Bible for that? And when is that baby old enough to come to a revelation or an understanding that it died, that it needed to be buried? But this is the great Catholicism. You know, we're going to sprinkle our babies. So now the Methodists, they take you down to the water and they sprinkle water on you. Well, let me tell you, when you die, I hope that they bury you and cover you with dirt and not sprinkle sand on your dirt, because you're going to stink. You got to bury it. So baptism simply means burial. I'm just talking for a moment here. I'm letting you know that everybody's got a doctrine. Everybody's got a different, but the Bible is not for private interpretation. It's yay and amen. And we got to find the mind of Christ and the mind of the word. We're not going to find that when we keep on dabbling in our own carnal mind, in our own will. "Well, I don't believe this. I don't agree with this." And they don't have no bounds or no Bible or no foundation. Come on now. Been doing this a few days. Been dealing with humanity and people for many years. And all men's hearts are fashioned alike. You see, when a man comes in my presence and struggling in the scriptures, it's not like, "Oh gosh, what are we going to do?" Man, I've done dealt with this for years. I'm in peace in the Lord. I've got doctrine. I'm not defending myself. I'm not called to defend me. I'm not called to defend Christian temple. I'm called in one thing, the defense of the Word of God. There's some beautiful things in the mind of revelation for the present day and the present time. People don't want to hear that because they've got another mind and another revelation, got their life all worked out what they're going to do. They got their career all worked out what they're going to do. They got everything worked out where they're going to be. You don't have decisions that you could make. You see, the Son of God that walked among men, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." Now here is the King of Kings walking among us, the creator of all things, and he had enough understanding to say, "Not my will." But are you willing to do that? How many of you here are willing to submit your will to God? But you want to control your life. You don't want to surrender your life. You don't want to submit your life to God because you're afraid he might ask you to do something you don't want to do. And believe me, he will.
You got this Christianity and this religious ideology that, oh, Jesus just let me, and he's just going to pour out sugar and sweets on me all the time, and he's just going to bless me, and he's going to give me money when I'm a worthless scumbag, and I don't want to work, and I'm a trash, and he's just going to bless me because he just loves everybody. You're ignorant. And you make him ignorant thinking that way. When he says, thou sluggard, he said, even the ants got more sense than you. Come on now. That's what he says in his Bible. And he said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Won't somebody tell the welfare department about it? That big lazy sucker don't want to work. Don't feed him. Let him get hungry. All of a sudden he can work. I was talking to an individual the other day. He told me his sister was moving in with the parents. And I said, does your sister work? Oh, no. She's on disability. You know, when somebody tells me disability, you know what I think? You know, my uncle went to World War II. He got blown up by a landmine. They took one complete lung out of him and left half of the other one. They took a spleen out of him. They took half of his stomach out of him. And they couldn't get all the metal out of him. He was riddled full of metal. And it was painful. You know that? And you know what that guy did? He laid on his backside for 45 years collecting pension. Absolutely not. But that's what you would expect, you bunch of lazy Americans. Come on now. See, this is insulting. That man went to work. He got out of World War II. And this is that man built hundreds of homes. Hundreds. I should say thousands of homes. He was building tracks at a time. And he worked and he worked and he worked. 70 years old, he was still working. Still building and running crews and jobs. Cancer took a toll on him. And the gentleman is gone. But he was a working man. He worked through the pain and things because there was something in his mind saying, I'm a man and this is what men do, we work. Amen? But this is America. I'm a victim. I'm the wrong skin color. You know, my mama was no good to me. My daddy was no good to me. I've got schizophrenia and I've got stinking ignorance. Come on, man. Now, I'm just talking to you. Come on, folks. I deal with folks. I deal with people. You know, somebody needs to tell the doctor, shut up. I've had the doctor tell me I've got many things wrong with me. And I say, I don't receive that, doc. You know? Well, we need to cut on you. We need to do this. I say, absolutely not. We need to remove this. I said, no, you don't. I like it more than you need it. That's exactly what I told him. Well, if you don't do this, you're going to die. I said, I'm not scared of death. You think you're going to scare me into submitting to you? And I didn't listen to him. Well, we need to do this. We need to run a biopsy. And I say, no, it ain't necessary. We need to do it. It ain't necessary. We got to do it. It ain't necessary. I got another physician named Jesus, and I'm going to walk with him. And you say, but Brother Rob, you might die. Brother, I've already died. Okay? You see, people reason. This is what I'm talking about tonight. They reason. They reason. They reason. Nowadays, a kid gets a snotty nose, and you're taken to the emergency room. Come on now. People don't want to hear this stuff. Some of my daughters never even seen a doctor until they went to have a baby. You know that? My wife, they told her, they threatened her when she went to have a baby. They said, you know, you had to come in and you needed to be under our care and you needed to do this. You don't just walk in and have a baby. So I delivered the last one at home. You say, well, that's stupid. Well, praise God for stupid people then. Amen. Come on, saints. Are you telling us not to go to the doctors? I'm telling you this. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So there's good in medicine. You know, if you can't get your faith in God, yeah, take some medicine. It might extend your days. But what I'm saying, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. Not lean to the arm of the flesh. But we're Americans, and we got welfare, and we got first aid or whatever they call this aid. What do they call the aid? What's it called? Medicaid, Medicare. You against that stuff? No. I thank God people can get help. But what they do is they depend on the help instead of depending on God. They get things out of whack in their life, and then the doctors put fear tactics on for they can have job security. Huh? You know, the guy that does yard care likes lawn because it grows back and he gets to keep coming back cutting it. You know what the doctor wants? He wants you back. Amen. Oh yeah, you got to come back next month for a blood test. Why? What's wrong with the one you just sucked out of me today? Well, you got to come back for this. Why? I went to a doctor over here, and she said, you self-diagnose yourself. And I said, well, praise God, that's all you do is practice anyway. I may as well practice for myself. They don't like Brother Rob. But I can't go buy something if I need some without getting their signature on it. I can prescribe it just as well. Huh? Sometimes it don't take a rocket scientist. You know, pretty soon we have to get a prescription for water. You look thirsty. Oh, the doc will write you a prescription for that. I need some water. What do you want, the H2O kind? Or Brethren, what I'm speaking about is there's a God. He made this body. The Bible says this thing is wonderfully made. He designed it. He could fix it. He could repair it. But you got to put faith in Him and get the faith out of the hospital. Get the faith out of the doctor. Get a faith out of the arm of the flesh. And you put your faith in God. Amen. And if you're having problems and you're struggling in your faith, get a man of God to pray with you that he can pray for your faith, not for your circumstance. For God can condition your faith and build your faith. Amen. For you can have faith. You see, the Bible said contend for the faith, to press for these things. And what we need to do is start exercising faith for one day when you need it, you know how to exercise it. Come on, saints. We need to know how to operate and exercise faith. We need to know how to call on God and call on Him without unbelief. Well, Lord, would you help me? Oh, I know you're not going to do it. What in the world did you pray for Him for? I told Brother Terry, talking with him today, I said, Brother, quit professing. You know, I said, you're going to keep going to the doctors, and you're going to keep going to them, and you're going to keep believing them until they kill you. You know, well, the doc said I got this. The doc said I got that. The doc said I got this. Well, I got a doctor named Jesus, and he said, you're healed by my stripes, thus saith the Lord. He said, we believe in Him. Amen. We profess Him. We profess His works. We profess Him. He's our God. His word is true. The Bible said, let the word be true and every man be a liar. That means that medical doctor's a liar when he ain't speaking this word right here. You say, doc, I appreciate you and I respect your professionalism. I appreciate your service. I appreciate your education. But I've got a God that is superior to you and I believe Him. Amen. And He is my Lord and my God. Amen. And you say, well, you know, healing was and miracles was for back then, 2,000 years ago. Well, you just made the word of God a lie. Come on now. The Bible said He's the same to every generation. Amen. To every generation. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Do you know what forever means? That's forever. Amen. And we got to start believing His word, but we believe everything else but His word. And we start reasoning with His word. We go to churches and the preachers will teach you, well, you're a sinner and you sin every day. That preacher is of his father, the devil, that teaches you that, because that's a lie from hell. That's not the Bible. You go to the preacher and he says, well, you know, God was healing back then, but now today He's not doing it no more because my grandma died and my daddy died and my Aunt Lucille, she didn't get healed. So God must not be a healer. Well, I'm sorry Aunt Lucille didn't get faith in God. And I'm sorry for the way that you believe, but my God is the same to every generation. And my God is still in the healing business. And I'm going to continually profess what my Lord and my God can do. Amen. And I'm not going to waver from that. I'm not going to bend for that. Now, if we're going to talk about this faith to move in your life, it takes faith to get saved. It gets faith to set free. It takes faith to get healed. You understand that? So then if we're going to contend, as the Bible says, for the faith, then what do we need to do? We need to get obedience to the word. When you're walking in disobedience, the Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. The Bible said that the commandments of God are not grievous to the children of God. But when you're grieved about the commandments of God, then there's a problem with you. And God's going to hold the benevolence back from you, the provisions back from you, and you're going to stay in a continual wilderness. Amen. Come on now, saints. Okay, let me read on just a little bit more. I've got a lot of Bible to go to tonight. If I follow what I believe the Lord put in my heart. But then He sent me over here. It's totally not in my notes. Y'all love the Lord? Oh, praise God.
Let me go back here to verse 2 and read it again. We're going to go right on down for a minute. Hebrews chapter 4, the second verse. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I want the word to profit me. So I need faith for that to happen, correct? Let's go on. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Come on now. Can somebody tell me when the foundation of the world was? Come on now.
Well, I was listening to the History Channel.
And they said 4 billion years ago. I say, praise God. I believe the earth was here 4 billion years ago. Well, I thought you believed in creation, Brother Rob. And I thought you believed the earth was only 6,000 years old. The Bible said the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters and he started speaking light. It was without form and void. You understand that? And then he started speaking creation into it. Amen? And started calling for something to sustain life. As you've heard me preach that same passage in Genesis 1, and it talks about you. See, that was really talking about your creation, because you were in your first birth were darkness and void, and darkness upon the face of your deep, and it takes the Holy Ghost to move over you and start speaking light. Light has to do with understanding. The Bible said they perish from a lack of knowledge. My heart is so full of wanting to bring you some knowledge that you could walk in the power of the gospel, walk in the light of the word, walk in the fellowship with the Spirit, walk in the rest of God, walk in the peace that surpasses all understanding, and then you fight me with your intellectual ignorance. Come on, saints. See, they think that their thought pattern or their thinking is just all by itself over there. But according to the Word of God, it speaks louder than a loudspeaker. You understand that? Because, see, they live in a natural world that only hears through the audible. They live in a world that they only see with the 22 conductive nerves that come through the eye. But Jesus said, though you have eyes, you don't see. You see, we got to get beyond the sight of these 22 conductive nerves. We got to get beyond the hearing from this audible vibration that's hitting that eardrum. You got to start getting into another dimension, another realm that you don't know nothing about, but you'll fight the man that has seen it and wants to lead you into it and help you. And you'll bring death and damnation. We've had people come to this church and I poured my heart out and trying to love them. They started fighting me. And I'm thinking, praise God, I love you. And fight me. Praise God, I love you. Fight me and praise God, I love you. And we watch heartaches and failed marriages. We watch death and cancers and destruction. Why? Because that's the Word of God. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? You say, well, you know, God is love. And I said, yeah, he loved Ananias and Sapphira when they fell over dead in the church. In the church. You know, you're standing at the feet of the one who just carried your spouse out and buried them. And then they lied against the Holy Ghost and went right out also and was buried. Let me go on for a moment. We're going to get into some scripture tonight. Y'all got time tonight? Amen. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, verse 3, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They didn't enter in because of unbelief? Because of unbelief? Because of unbelief? I like the way the one brother said, Lord, pray for my unbelief. Amen. Pray for my unbelief. You know, brethren, if I was going to ask you tonight, and I was going to just stop preaching here for a moment, or stop teaching, or stop reaching, however you want to express what I'm doing here tonight, because I'm reaching for souls tonight, brethren. God knows that. I'm reaching tonight. There's people that's sitting in my presence, man, that if God doesn't do something, they will absolutely perish in their intellectual mind of understanding that is dung. The great apostle Paul said, all of my learning is as dung. He come to a revelation, Brother Bo. He come to an understanding. You know, dung. If you don't know what dung is, it's poo-poo, huh? Come on, your understanding is stinking. It's pooey. It's you. You understand that, right, Macy? It's smelly, huh? Now, if this little baby can understand it, I hope that you get the revelation of your mind and the way you think. The Bible said it's a stench in the nostrils of God. God repented that he made man. He repented that he made you, my friend. He repented that he made you. He saved the woman in childbearing. He was so angry with the woman, but he saved her for childbearing. For man could reproduce and multiply in the earth. But now women have taken over America. And you say, oh no, I knew you was a male chauvinist. Oh, praise God. Pray for me. Amen. Verse 6. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. I like to use a lot of word, because you could fight me, but when you fight the word, that's another thing altogether. If you could come to the revelation and get your eyes open, you'll find that I'm for your good, not for your bad. You understand that? Maybe you ought to go home and read Romans, the 13th chapter tonight, and you'll find out that I'm there for your good. And maybe you'll find in there that you need to fear the preacher also, because he could curse you. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, go read Romans 13, please. It said, woe to that preacher that holds the sword back from blood. Amen. The Bible said you smite the shepherd, the minister, and the sheep scatter. I'm going to happen to be a pastor that likes to keep people in the sheepfold for their protection. Amen. I don't control people's lives, brethren and sisters. Interview these people. They've been with me for years. I don't control their finances. I don't control where they work, how they work, or what they do. But if they're going to be partakers in this ministry, there's got to be an order. You see, I've got order in this church. If you want to be a bartender, you won't be on my platform singing for Jesus. You understand that? That's called order. It's not controlling people's life. You got the sovereignty. Go be a bartender. Go be a stripper. It don't matter. That's your business. It's your sovereignty. But what I'm saying is I have this church in order. I'm commanded to have order in the house of God, or I'll bring the judgments of God. When they came into the temple of God and they started selling doves and doing money changing and stuff, Jesus came in with a whip. Read your Bibles. Jesus, this one that loves everybody, this one that just gets spit in his face and his beard plucked, and he just lets you do whatever you want. He came in with a whip, and he ran them out of the temple. Come on now. You see, they've created in America this big sissified God. They've created this Jesus that just goes around and you spit on him and you spit on him and you spit on him and you mock him and you live like a dog and you live like a devil. You live like a whore and you live like a whoremonger. And oh, he just loves me just the way I am. He said, I'm angry with the wicked and I'm going to pursue them off of the face of the earth. He said, the righteous scarcely make it in. And he said, you as a man with your righteousness, it's as filthy rags. He said, it's as filthy ministrating cloth for you that don't know what those filthy rags were that he was speaking about. Now that's pretty nasty, ain't it, Brother Bo? Huh? Is that pretty nasty?
Nowadays, you know, because of the modern science and the sanitary napkins, it ain't like it was in the Bible days where a woman had to take this menstruating cloth and she had to take and wash it. And anywhere she sat was condemned unclean while she was in that state. If she rode in the, if they had a car, you couldn't even get in the seat of that car with them. You couldn't even get in the same bed with them. And this is what the Lord said your righteousness is. You can't even get near God. Come on, saints. You got to understand the word. But you know, we just play with it. And then we get some pretty boy preacher that just, God loves everybody. Oh, I'm not going to offend nobody. Oh, don't call them homosexual. Call them gay. We don't want to offend nobody. Come on now. A bunch of sissy preachers. The Bible said, raise your voice up like a trumpet. Amen. Come on. That's what the Bible says to do. That's the problem why America is failing. Because the preachers quit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They quit being men of God. They started becoming a bunch of sissies. You say, well, you're offensive the way you talk. Good, I hope you're offended.
Well, I might be a little one and you have to put a millstone around your neck.
See, you're ignorant. I wish you understood the Bible. Did you call me ignorant? I did. So after church, I'll come up to your face and I'll still call you ignorant. You say, I'll put your nose in the backside of your forehead. And I said, you're still ignorant. You can do whatever you want. I don't fear man that could take this life, but he can't get my soul. You understand that? I'm going to preach the gospel. There was men that shed blood that this word could go forth. Many men over the years. But America's producing sissy preachers that are afraid to preach the word. A bunch of purdy boys. Don't want to offend nobody. A bunch of purdy boys that go to college and then they get taught and they learn how. Well, this is what we got. We got to go to psychology. You know what? Many of the mainline churches will not put a minister in until they've got this college degree and they got to learn psychology. Now the government's backing them. You can't do certain marriage kind of stuff unless you got a degree in psychology. Let me tell you something. I got a degree, brother, that'll make a psychologist look like a dumb idiot. That's pretty offensive too. Good. You're in the point then. Because I'm doing everything I can to wake you up and get you out of your intellectual puke brain. Amen. The Bible said they're drunk on the cares of the world. Drunk on the cares of the world. Come on now. Drunk on the cares of the world. They got their saves so wrapped up in the world, so wrapped up in their things, and they can't see that they're like a dog chasing its tail and it's going to get nowhere. Amen. You're in an Indian death march. And you're just going in the same circle over and over and over again. And then somebody's got life for you. And offering life abundant, and you mock it, lightly esteem it. Amen. Let's keep going here for a minute. I got to get into two other chapters. What verse was that there? 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today ye will hear his voice. Harden not your hearts. Tonight, my friend, you're hearing the voice of God. Harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Praise God. Please, if you could find this place. Amen. Find this place that's in Christ and him alone. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Take heed to what you're hearing. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, brethren, let's continue on a moment. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. I was reading after some of the things that's caused America to fail, caused religion to fail. A theologian now. He said there's no difference between the soul and the spirit. He said you could interchange these two. I said no difference. But then yet, when you got the word of God, the quickening spirit, the Bible said the first man, Adam, was a living soul, the second man, a quickening spirit. And when God quickens it to you by the mind of revelation, by the mind of Jesus Christ, then you see perfectly and clearly the difference between the soul and the spirit. And you know how to rightly divide it. You see, there's a difference between the man and the woman. Somebody say, I know that's being contested today. There's a reason it is. But a little boy is made a little different than a little girl. And we need to honor that and keep that. And when these bunch of liberal devils that got their college educations and they're trying to change these things and they don't submit to nothing, nowhere. They will not submit to anything, anywhere. They will not submit. They never will submit. Amen? They never will. They never will submit. They never will submit. And they'll find themselves in eternal damnation. You know why they won't submit? Because America has given the people their rights. People's rights. They gave the women their rights back in this prohibition time. We could tell them to do a lot of things. And you say, well, what was wrong giving women their rights? Not a thing at all. It's just what destroyed America. And you say, you're a male chauvinist, aren't you, Brother Rob? No, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, you can't show me that in the Word. No, I can show you that in the Word, but you're usually too hard-headed to hear or listen to the Word of God. Genesis, the third chapter. Let's go over there just for a brief moment. Let me tell you something. The Bible said when a man finds a wife, he finds him a good thing. I could take you over to Proverbs and I could read to you about a virtuous woman. Man, I'll tell you what, how precious and beautiful and godly and holy it is. Amen? Women are a beautiful thing, brethren, when they're in the mind of Jesus Christ and revelation and they're following the Word of God. When a husband will line up with God and serve God and walk in the Spirit and follow the Word of God, and that woman will love to subject and submit himself to that. But the reason the women have had to do what they've done in this country is because the men have failed. But it still ain't right with God. Men have failed, my friend. Men have failed. They failed God. They failed in prayer. They failed in fasting. They failed in separation. Now, if you think I'm just going to beat women up here tonight and make the man to be somebody, let me tell you, God repented that he made man. He repented. And if you would analyze it by the mind of Jesus Christ, you ain't going to put your chest down and think, well, bless God, I'm the man. So the Lord just slap you down. Amen? And I'm going to stand there and watch him do it and smile. You know why? Because I've been slapped down before and it saved my soul. Sometimes when we get arrogant, we need to get slapped down. You know, for the saving of the soul. Amen? When we get confident and haughty, the Bible said the haughty spirit comes before the fall. Boy, why can't we hear that when we're walking in arrogance and haughtiness? We got to be careful. There's no fear of God left in America. They don't have no fear of the Word. They don't have no fear of God. They don't have no fear of the ministers of God. We're going to keep the sword in the sheath tonight and do some teaching, hopefully. But then after you go home and read Romans, the 13th chapter, maybe next time it'll come out for blood. Amen. You need to understand the word. I'm a servant of God. The Bible said, beware when you entertain strangers, because it may be the angel of the Lord. Said, the Bible says that, maybe angels. And what you don't know is that the angel of God could be speaking through a brother, the least in the house of God. It could be speaking, and you're sitting there in your human reason rejecting the only voice of God that you will ever hear. But because of your overconfidence of your own human reasoning, you're going to sit and reject the living God that came and walked among men to bring you life and life abundant. Amen. Genesis 3rd chapter. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of this, of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. You know the problem? We've made this into fairy tales and for little children, and they don't understand what's being said here. You see, when you read the book of Revelation, it goes into some beautiful things that is hid from the wise and the prudent. They don't understand it. But over here in the book of Genesis, there's some beautiful things veiled there also. But we've made it into, you know, this woman ate an apple and it caused a curse to all of mankind. You say, well, ain't that what it says? Not quite exactly. It's not quite like that. It's a little bit different than that. God's a righteous, just God. But he's not going to put all of humanity in hell because a woman ate an apple. Amen. So you need some revelation. You need some understanding of the word of God is what we need. Verse 3 again. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He's the master of all lies. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now as we read on, we're going to find out he just told her the truth there. But he's a liar, and the master lies. But this is what Satan's going to come to. He's going to come to you with truth. He's not ignorant. He's going to come with truth, and truth, and truth, and truth, and more truth. That's how he took over America. Truth. And what you do is you'll follow truth and follow truth. And then when he lies, he's got you used to submitting and following him. And then you're not going to be sharp enough because he's already pulled you in to his web of deception. And he's got his claws dug deep down into your soul. And you ain't smart enough to realize it. And you're on your way to hell and you're looking forward to the trip. Because he's enlightened you and empowered you and dangled in front of your face power. He gave you the power to make your own decisions. Gave you the power to be your own God. Gave you the power to do what you want, to go where you want. And when you hear this come out of a man's mouth, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm a man. I make my own decisions. You just heard devil speaking through him. Come on now. That's what you're hearing is a devil. The Bible said to enter into the kingdom of God that you must become as a little child. Now, some of you are mamas and some of you are daddies. And you know, I know how John's little girl just loves her daddy and he'll do almost anything for her. But I could tell you what, if his little girl comes up to him and says, Daddy, I'm going to do this. He's going to say, wait a minute, young lady. You're going to do what Daddy says you can do. Because he's a father. And he knows that he cannot allow that kind of a spirit to come forth from a child, because that'll be the very spirit that destroys the child. So as much as he loves his little girl, he's going to say, no, wait a minute. He's going to pull some order. But what is God going to do with you when you keep spitting in his face and you keep making your decisions? What is he going to do with you? Oh, but you're polished. Oh, but you're wise. Are you more wiser than the serpent that has taken over America and over the world? The Bible said he's the God of this world. Do you think you're wiser than him? He's polished you and made you think that way. He took over the education system of the United States of America and throughout the world, and he's polished you in his system and in his mind. And he's got you thinking that you're sharp. He's got you thinking you've got the ability to make your own decisions. People's rights. And that's the last thing to conquer in Laodicea. It's the people's rights. Well, I got my rights. Ain't no preacher going to tell me what to do. Ain't no God going to tell me what to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I make my decisions. I got my own mind. I'm smarter than that preacher. I'm smarter than God. See, God is the one that called the preacher. God's the one that put him in the earth. And he said, subject yourself to the authority and the powers. Am I trying to brainwash you and take your life? How come people call me and want me to make decisions for them and I won't? If I was trying to control your life, why won't I make your decisions for you? I don't do that. People come to me continually. I say, brother, we'll pray about it. God will lead you. God will direct you. But I preach God's word and I direct souls into the kingdom of God. And if I say, you want to walk in the counsel of God? There's nobody here forced to give finances to this church. But I'm a preacher. And when they're not prospering and not blessed, I got to preach the gospel. I got to remind them why they're not being blessed. Because the Bible said when you rob God, he cuts holes in your pockets. You say, oh, I knew you'd get around to taking an offering. Yeah, probably if I can give it to you, you worthless. I know I talk terrible sometimes. I'm just not one of your polished preachers. I'm purposely not going to fit into that mold where, oh, you don't want to offend nobody. That's the layout of the sin preachers. Oh, we're not going to offend nobody. You know what the Bible said? It's a sin to call evil good. And when your preacher calls a homosexual gay, he's sinning according to the Bible. He's sinning. Because he is calling something that the Bible said is an abomination, and he called it something gay. Gay is good. I'm gay. And I ain't no homo. Come on now. Man, I tell you what, I like to fellowship brethren and families and, you know, smile a little bit. And man, praise God, it's a wonderful day. Man, praise God, man, hallelujah. Man, we got us 10 pounds of pork on the smoker, man. I'm gay, woohoo. Man, I'm happy, man. But see, the perverts took the word. And they modified it and changed it. And now they say that they're gay. So we can't use our word no more. We can't use it because they stole it. And then the sickos, they stole the word murder from us. Oh, it's the woman's right. It's my body. I got the right to kill the life in it. You see, no, they're a murderer. It's a murder, my friend. It's a murderer. But we took the word away, and it's called choice. And now we put it on our law books, and we make them have laws. But God forbid you kill a stinking porpoise, or you kill a seal, or let alone some stinking cat. Shoot the neighbor's cat. The doggone thing sprayed all over your car, sprayed your front porch, and it stinks, and you kill that, and you'll go to prison. But go ahead and take the baby. You see, it's because Satan is the god of this world. Amen? And he's the master deception. And you've taken and believed the lie, and you're damned. That's the Bible. But then the preacher comes in, and the Bible said when you see evil coming against the city, to cry out against it. And he told us they're going to hate you for it. And we cry out against sin, and they sit and despise you and hate you. Paul said there was a time you would have plucked your eyes out for me. But now because I brought you the truth, you hate me. And you dabble with the word here and dabble with the word there. I've taught people to fly airplanes. You get them out there for a little bit. You get them out there and you got them where they could fly it. And they get in it and you say, okay. And you let them take the controls. They take off. They go around the field and they land. Man, I'm a pilot. No, you could take an airplane off and land it. That don't make you a pilot. Wait until you get in an emergency and then you'll find out if you're a pilot. And some of you, that's where your Christianity is. Well, everything's going just fine. Bunch of queers. Come on, man. I know I'm offensive. Never mind. I'm not going to tell you that. Just you human reason it out. I'm not polished. I'm not going to fit into your polished ethics. Bible said the minister's rude in speech but not knowledge. You say, well, that's not what it's talking about. You're ignorant, filthy talking, Brother Rob. And I said, well, I'm going to keep talking like that until you get set free and get saved. Amen. Pray for me. Amen. Because while you're worn in your mind thinking you're better than somebody, you're going to find yourself busting hell wide open. Amen. I'm a servant of God to pray to him and let him take care of Brother Rob. Amen. I'm following him. Well, he's tired of you. And I said, well, then he'll put you in as pastor. Amen. Just try to walk in the Spirit for 5 minutes anyway. Genesis 3:5. You love the Lord? I don't know why anybody would watch you. Just because you like Oprah. I don't like Oprah. I dare you to say you like her. No. That's disgusting. She is a devil from hell, a demon, thus saith the Lord. She is a devil from hell. She is a devil incarnate in the flesh and tabernacle, perverting the minds of women in America to take them to hell with her. She is a devil antichrist, thus saith God. Now, if I say thus saith the Lord and that's not right, you know what will happen to me? I'll lose my own soul. So I must be pretty confident about that, huh? You say, well, maybe she could get born again. Maybe she can, but she ain't. And she probably never will because she's her own God. She's on her way to hell. You can't say that. You can't judge him. I could show you in the Bible that that's what I'm called to do, to judge all things. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. And then it goes on to say in the same passage of scriptures that the least of you in the church, the very least of you, are even going to judge the angels. Come on now. You see, while you're telling me I can't judge, I'm going to be judging the angels. And that's what I just done. I judge the angel of the devil that manifests itself because it's invisible in a sweat hog named Oprah Winfrey. That's offensive, Brother Rob. Good. I'm not got nothing nice to say about a devil. Amen. And you say, well, you didn't have to personalize by calling her a sweat hog. The Bible said she's better off to put a knife to her throat. You understand that? When they're given to appetite. Better to put a knife to the throat. That's the Bible. See, y'all made the Bible sissified like you are. Well, they don't want to offend nobody. And I'm trying to show you the word is not like you think it is. All right, I'm just trying to wake you up. Because you're in danger of hell. This is love, my friend. This is the love of God pouring out to you in fullness tonight. Amen? Come on, saints, we need to take heed to what we hear. If you could only see beyond the veil of your intellectual mind, you'd be on your face in the altars repenting before God, saying, God, have mercy on me. Amen? Where's the fear of God? The Bible said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And you got no wisdom because you ain't got no fear of God. If you had fear of God, you would subject yourself and submit yourself in the house of God. Amen. Let's go on. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. Now listen to this. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. That's why they like to strip off today and show their cleavage and pull their dresses up as high as they can and show their thighs. You understand that? If you understood the revelation of Jesus Christ, you'd cover your flesh. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. That's why you hide from God behind your intellectual mind. Because you're ashamed. Amen. And you try to hide from him, but you can't. Amen. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, that gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. Passing the buck, didn't he? And I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, listen, what is this that thou hast done? What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Listen, Eve. He's still talking to you right now. Please listen. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise the head of thou, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception in sorrow, and thou shalt bring forth children, and they desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
Not in America.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened. Listen, my friend, brother. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth in thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat the bread until thou return unto the ground. And out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto the dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and the flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Brethren, I could start expounding on that chapter right there for hours tonight. And we could bring you to some revelation of present day truth right now. It's a beautiful thing, brethren, and it's still taking place today. It's taking place today. You see, the Bible said God was, God is, and God is to come. God was, God is, and God is to come. And let me tell you something. When we talk about the woman being saved in childbearing, I preached on this the other night, but the woman was saved in childbearing, New Testament doctrine, saved in childbearing, amen? And God extended life to her. Amen? God repented, he made man. We, being the bride of Christ, were saved to bring forth the Christ child. We saved us as man, the feminine, the weaker vessel. Now, if you think that I'm hammering down on woman, I'm talking about we as men, and we are the weaker vessel when we stand before God. Amen? The bride of Christ, he's coming for his bride. We submit to him. He's the stronger. Are you listening to me? He's the stronger. He is the masculine. And we being the feminine, the weaker, and we submit to him. We say, no, Lord, it's not me that lives, but it's you. We submit ourselves to him. Amen. It starts with you, brother. And it starts that way. But there's an order in God. And we got to find this order, and we got to walk in that order. Amen. And we got to subject to that order, and we got to submit to that order. Amen. Now, let's talk about the tree of knowledge. Where's it at today? The colleges, the education system. And the woman has rose up and said, eat of this, it is good. Amen. It gives you control of your own life. Amen. You don't have to be subjected to your no man. You don't got to be subjected to no husband. You could make your own decisions. You could run your own empire. You could run your own corporation. You could run your own company. You can be the president. You could be the congressman. You could be the attorney. You could climb the poles. You could fly the airplanes. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they've taken and they've eaten of it. And they've been educated by it. And they've overthrown God, and it's caused the fall of United States of America because of man has taken and went to the tree of knowledge, to the education system of America, and they've climbed up another way. The Bible said they climb up another way, amen, without the wedding garment on. And when you don't got the wedding garment on, you're found naked, my friend, naked without the things. And this is why they fight holiness. This is why they say, no man is going to tell me how to dress. No man is going to tell me how to live. No man. It's because they partook of the tree of knowledge, and they're dead, and they're full of death, and they're full of dead men's bones, and they're on their way to hell. Somebody give Jesus a hand. Come on, saints of God. We got to learn the word of God. Amen. Who are you talking to? Every single one of you sitting here, male and female alike. Amen. If you say he's coming for his bride, you better submit yourself as a woman under her husband and say, it's not my will, but it's your will. It's not my mind and thoughts, it's your thoughts. The Bible said, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. That's the mind of Jesus. You got to get that mind of Jesus in you. Amen. And when you get that mind of Jesus in you, you'll start commanding, and you'll start walking, and you'll start living godly and holy and righteous. Without holiness, no man will see God. You see, people will interpret a message like this as control. They'll preach, but let me tell you something. When you submit yourself to the King of Kings, he brings you into the kingdom. Amen. And while you're out struggling in your education, and while you're out struggling for your own fame, and you're wanting to make your decisions because of your brilliance, you're nothing but in the dung heap. You're nothing but in the mires. The great apostle Paul said, all my education, all my learning is dung. Amen. When all you had to do was submit to the master.
Amen? And you take and submit yourself to Him as His bride, the weaker, and say, I love you. Amen? I'm not here to make decisions. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You've got everything that pertaineth unto life in this world and the world to come. All I want to do is submit myself to you. I want to follow you. And He could add to you. He could add an increase to you. He could raise you up. He could do so many beautiful things. But you're going to fight Him all the way. And you're going to go from place to place. And you're going to stumble from place to place. And you're going to find yourself in sorrows and pain and suffering when all you got to do is enter into His rest. Man, enter into His rest. It's such a beautiful place. You know, it's so great. Let me tell you something. You know, I flew around in airplanes many, many years. I used to love to get in an airplane with my dad. You know why? Because he was a far superior pilot. He'd been doing it for, you know, I mean, I started to learn to fly an airplane as a little boy who couldn't see over the instrument panel. You say, well, cock-a-doodle-doo. Okay, well, so be it. But what I'm saying is I've learned to fly airplanes, and I love to be with him because I felt safety. You understand that? And one day he gets out and says, here, you take it. You know? You know, are you sure? That's what I felt like when Brother George sent me up here to pastor church. Come on. I'm not sure about this. You know, why don't you just go around with me one more time? You know, let's just go fly one more time. Let me see if I can do this. Amen. But here's what I'm trying to say. It was nice to be with somebody that had experience. It was nice. You know, we could enter into a rest like that and say, you know, praise God. You know, and that's why there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. And this is why the need of a brotherhood. The Lord tried to form a brotherhood, and He did. He formed brethren to get together and dwell in unity. There's nothing greater than that. That's the will and the mind of God. You see, and we submit one to another, the Bible says. One to another. So when I talk about the failure of America because of the woman, I'm talking about you, man. You, mister. Because you overthrow God with your education. I'm smarter. I don't need you. The really intellectual people, they say that people that need God are weak and they need a crutch. That's what they say. They need a crutch. They need a crutch. Yep, I sure do. Amen. Because let me tell you something. When you look face to face into God, your strength will melt away from you. I've had God knock me on my face. Take the strength out of me. If I wanted to run from Him, I couldn't have, because I mean the power and the life was taken out of me and I was helpless. That's a good place to come, my friend. That's the way you need to stand before God. You're not going to impress Him with your Bible retention. You're not going to impress Him with what you think you know. He knows the amount of raindrops that's hit this earth since the beginning of time. He knows the amount of raindrops. You understand that? Huh? And I could ask Him on any given day. You may be bald-headed today, and I say, well, sir, let me ask you a question. When this bald-headed man was 32, how many hairs did he have on his head? And he could tell you that. Well, how many did he have when he was 42? And he could tell you that. I could tell you how many he's got when he's 69. Just smile. It's okay. Jesus loves you. Amen. All right. We really laid a foundation. I could get into some really beautiful things right now if you could stand to sit down tonight and listen for a little bit. We can go into some things that could expound and open up some things. God wants to bless you. He don't want to curse you. Amen. He came to bless you and to give you life and life abundantly. But you rejected because Satan has come and offered you a counterfeit. Satan has offered you life. And the life that he offers you is like, hey man, just do your own thing. Do it the way you want to do it. Do it the way it feels good to you. If it feels good. This is why people like these modern day television evangelists. This is why they got churches with 25,000 in it. You understand that? Let Brother Rob go preach in their church for about a week. Oh man, we're going to see souls saved. No, you're going to see devils cast out. And then we're going to be saving some souls. Amen. The devil ain't got no business in the house of God. And the first thing we do is run their pastors off. And you say, who do you think you are to judge him, a son of God? Amen. The least of all in the kingdom is judging things righteously by his word. You know what the Bible says? It said if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, said, let
them be accursed. You know what a curse is? You know, they've taken you and said, man, he cursed me out. You know, or he cursed me. You know, and you think of bad language. But you know where it comes from? Say, sir, you're on your way to hell. That's a curse. You understand that? That's a curse. We got to be careful how we speak. As there was a man running his mouth against my pastor, and I put my finger in his face, I said, you need to shut your mouth. I said, you need to shut your mouth. And I turned to my dad standing next to me. I said, this is the kind of man you'll be reading about in the newspaper. He'll take his airplane and spin it in the ground and kill himself. 2 weeks later, that's exactly what he done. From right where we were standing, 2 weeks later, he spun his airplane right into the ground, right out there. And the man died. And you say, wow, did you curse him, Brother Rob? I didn't have enough understanding. I was young in the things of Revelation and God, but that's exactly what I done. Because God called me to preach the gospel, and I was defending the word. I wasn't defending Brother George Leon Pike. I was defending the word. Because that man wasn't coming against the man. He was coming against the word of God. And I'm called in defense of the word. Amen. And I defended the word. I said, that's a brother in the Lord, and he's preaching the gospel. And the man died. You want to hear some more stories of similar things? Just like it, I could share some stories with you. You say, what are you trying to put fear in us? Amen. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There's consequences for all things. The laws of man, they say what goes up must come down. There's a law of force, that there's always a reaction to every action. And let me tell you, those laws are just a shadow of the things of the spirit world. And there is an action for every idle word that cometh forth out of your mouth, and for every word that you speak against the anointing of God. Amen? And you say, well, you spoke against Joel Osteen. He's God's anointed. If he's God's anointed, I'll quit preaching the gospel. Let me tell you something. I got to follow the word. I would never speak one word against that brother if he was a Christian or if he was a man of God. I would have such a fear in my heart. But my Bible commands me and said when they walk disorderly to mark them. And that brother is leading people into hell when he tells you that you got a choice to be a queer if you want. And he's not going to say nothing. The Bible said, you know, the man's called of God because he turns people from their sin. And if you're going to turn people from sin, the way you do it is you expose it. You say, my friend, if you don't get away from your drunkenness, you're going to go to hell. If you don't get away from defiling the temple of God, you're going to burn in hell. If you don't get away from beating your wife, you're going to burn in hell. You understand that? It's because I'm called to preach God's word. And he said, when you see evil coming against the city and you don't cry out, then their blood's on your head. That's why I preach the word. Amen. I'm called to do that. But you want a bunch of sissies like the rest of them that don't offend nobody, don't say nothing offensive to nobody. But when the woman that had a sick daughter, listen to me, saints, you think you know Jesus and you don't know him, had a sick daughter and came to the master for her daughter's healing. And he said, woman, it ain't for the dogs. That's what your God Jesus said. He said, this healing ain't for the dogs. And the woman was just seeking for the healing of her child. And the Lord called her a dog. And what you going to do with that, you with your little sissified Jesus? Another man went to Jesus and he said, come on, young man, and follow me. And he said, but sir, my daddy just died. You know, I got to go bury. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. Come on, let's go. What would you think of Brother Rob if I'd done that to you? Oh, your dad just died? Come on, let's go, man. Praise God. Let's go do something for God. Let the dead bury the dead. Let's go do something for the Lord. Amen. See, you would be offended, wouldn't you? You see, you think you know your Jesus. But here's what he said. He said he's angry with the wicked. He's going to pursue them off the face of the earth. And then he goes on even a little farther. He said, I'm going to laugh at you in the day of your calamity. I'm going to laugh at you. That's what he says.
You see, brethren, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to get you to wake up and quit thinking that you're serving some God, that you're going to mock Him and spit in His face and live the way you want and never submit unto Him and live after your own thinking and after your own mind. And He's just going to let you walk right in to the kingdom. Amen. I'm telling you, those two cherubims with those swords that kept Adam out of that garden, amen, is going to keep you out of paradise, out of eternal life, out of the third heaven. It's going to keep you out. Amen. And the only way that you can get through that is by showing up with the wedding garment of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you got that wedding garment on, I was going to take you over in the New Testament and show you that it pertaineth unto holiness, and the woman dresses in holiness. Amen. And when the woman strips off, it's the same thing that Eve was doing, found naked. And that's what they teach you in Bible college. Amen. And they're stripping them off. They're taking the women and stripping them off. I'd like to show you a picture of a woman in New York City on the beach in New York State in 1901 that got arrested for indecent exposure. Got arrested, Brother Pete, and she had a bathing suit on. The bathing suit went all the way up to here, and it went all the way down past her knees. And she was arrested for indecent exposure. You say, well, that was 1901. Yeah, that was before Eve took of the tree of knowledge in this generation, in this day. You know, there used to be men who knew how to work. And men would go out and work. And men would make money. And men would support their wives. And their wives could stay home and raise their children. That's what God did, and that's what He's ordained it to be. But no, we send them off into education and we get them in colleges, and then they're running their homes and then they're running the countries and everything. Why? Because God's showing America that they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it was good, amen, because the women are running the government. It is good because they're running America. It is good, amen. You understand that? It's good to them. But God says it isn't good. Amen. It isn't good. And you say, you're really against women, aren't you, Brother Rob? No. Let me tell you, I think a woman is a beautiful, virtuous thing. Amen. I love my wife. I don't beat her. I don't treat her like some kind of dog. I even feed her, Brother Pete. I make dinner for her often. You know what? I even made the bed for her, man, several times. I do that often. I treat my wife good. Amen. I don't treat her like some servant. But I wish she'd start treating me as good as I do her. No. Honey, I'll have the laundry done as soon as I get home. No. She don't let me mess with the washing machine. We got one of them sophisticated ones, you know. And she asked me one day, she said, you know, you could work on airplanes. You're certified. You could fly them. You got a Class A driver's license. You could drive diesel trucks. You run equipment. But you don't know how to run the washer. Man, that sucker's complicated, man. That sucker's over my head, man. Vacuum cleaners, I've never figured them out. Them suckers are wild, man. They start beating the furniture up and everything. She says, I'll vacuum. Okay, baby. I'm in trouble now, ain't I? I think we're going to close now. Oh, you ought to see me with one of them weed whackers. Oh, is that a rose? I'm colorblind. That ain't a rose. Baby, that was red rose. Oh, I can't see red. I thought it was a weed. I'll take care of the weed eating. Okay, baby. Hey, man, we got it worked out, huh? I'm just teaching you the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Amen. Y'all love me? Amen. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Y'all love the Lord? Amen. God's good. I love y'all, man. I tell you, wonderful people. It's wonderful to be in the house of God. It's wonderful to walk in peace. Amen. With a brotherhood and fellowship. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. If I wanted to expound on what we read there in Genesis, it would take hours. You know, I could talk about the woman there. We go into the next dimension. I say second dimension, I'm the woman. You understand that? I got to submit to God. I got to be that chaste virgin. He said, I made you pure without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, a virgin. The Bible said we must enter into His gates with thanksgiving in our heart, huh? We got to enter into this secret chamber with Him. The Bible teaches us that it's the seed that remaineth in us that keepeth us from sin. That sin comes through the marriage. We must be married unto Him.
This is why he made us a spotless virgin, because he's the king and he wouldn't marry anything that's unpure. So he cleansed us and washed us and made us pure that we could be married unto him. When we marry unto him, then we receive his seed. His seed brings forth a child. If the child doesn't come forth, you got no inheritance, because the child is what's heir to the throne. Are you with me, saints? This is why we differentiate between the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and the body, the soul, and the spirit. This is why we differentiate between the inner man and the outer man. And this is all Bible terminology. Amen. But you'll sit in my presence and reason against God, thinking that you know something, just like Eve did when she was beguiled by the serpent. You got too much education, too much learning, too much study, and you've studied yourself into ignorance. You understand what I'm saying? When you need, the Bible says you must be born again. And the Bible teaches that you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You understand? Because it said, without his spirit, you're none of mine. And until you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you got no say-so in the matter. And I'm not even going to listen to your human reasoning, because I got better things to do as to listen to the serpent try to beguile through your lips. Amen? I've done, witnessed, and seen this enough. If you see any good thing through Brother Rob, don't give the glory to me, but it is the glory of God. And all good things goes to the Master, which is in heaven. If I feed the hungry, glory be to Jesus, amen. And if I help and clothe the naked, glory be to my Father, which is in heaven, amen. Because it's him living in me and dwelling in me. It's him that's doing the good things. It's him that's feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. And it's him that is rebuking the devil. It is him that is reproving the Antichrist. It is him that is bringing the rod of correction. Amen. So submit unto the Lord and you will find life. But you reject it and the counsel of God. I told a man last night, I said, sir, go get you a concordance. If you don't know what a concordance is, you could take a word and you could look up a word like chastening. And you open up the concordance and you look up chastening, and it'll say in Genesis, in Exodus. And it'll go right on down through, and it'll show you everywhere that word is in the Bible. I said, go find that word and read it. Because when you reject the chastening of the Lord, it makes you a bastard. You know what a bastard is? A bastard means they don't have a father. And when you don't have a father, they said they're bastard children. Amen. And the bastard children will not enter into the congregation. You understand that? So, we need to read the Word. Don't fight with the preacher. Don't fight the Word. Get yourself studied in the Word. Study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. Come on, man. This is your obligation. Get in the Word. It never offends me. Somebody challenges me with the Bible. Brother Andy, they'll never come to me and say, well, Brother Rob, I was reading in Genesis. Or Brother Rob, I was reading in Proverbs. Brother Rob, I was reading in Psalms. Brother Rob, I was reading over there in Ruth. Brother Rob, I was reading in Romans. They won't do that. Because then I can say, okay, you've got the Word. Let's get in the Word, amen. That's my foundation. That's my life. That's what I'm called in defense for. And if I bring something to you that ain't in that Bible, then you need to run from this. You're hearing it from here. You need to run from this if I'm preaching something in that Bible. But then yet you'll reason in your mind and in your human reason and in your intellect. And you'll say, I don't agree. I don't agree. Well, you better agree, because I'm preaching God's Word. And when you disagree with God's Word, you bring damnation and judgment. The Bible said they're sick, sick and afflicted among you. Why? Because you don't know how to discern the body of God. That's what the Bible said. That's why there's sick people. That's why cancer's eating up America. That's why AIDS is eating it up. Because they don't know how to discern the body of God. I am the body of Christ. I am called of God. You are the body of Christ. We're all called of God. We're the servants of God. And we're sent into this earth to judge. Amen. Because that's what the Bible said. And we're not just going to judge this earth. We're going to judge the angels. See, if you'd read your Bible, you'd know that. Amen. But you got some sissified preacher that's perverted your mind. Some sissified preacher that went to Bible college. You say, boy, you really are against education. Well, that's what comes out of education. They climbed up another way in their intellectual mind. You understand that? We got to stay in the Word. We got to stay in the Word.
Amen. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it equips you. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. But you go over here to the lukewarm Baptist church, they say, well, the Holy Ghost ain't for this day and hour. Somebody needs to show me that in the Bible. Oh, God don't heal no more today. Somebody needs to show me that in the Bible because it ain't there. And they'd say, oh, you're a sinner and everybody sins and nobody's perfect. That's a lie from hell. Jesus said, I perfected you by my works at Calvary. He perfected us once and for all. He said, be ye perfect. Why would he just do something we can't? Be ye perfect even as your master in heaven is perfect. Amen. But it'll make you mad when I stand before you and said, I'm perfect in Christ. Amen. Because he filled me with his spirit and he filled me with the Holy Ghost and he cleansed me and he washed me and he set me apart and nothing could be laid to my charge and nothing could touch me because I'm God's elect son. I'm a child of the living God. I'm living forever. And you can go to hell with that because I'm eternal and I'm living forever. Let's give him a hand. Amen. It ain't about me, my friend. It's about him. He gave me everything. I got nothing on my own. I didn't get it by being on my face or reading a book. I got it by the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. Because I love him. Amen. And I don't reason with him. And I don't fight with him. And I don't argue with him. He's my Lord. And he's my God. Amen. He's my master. Amen. I say, here I am, your servant. The Bible said you got to give your life as a living sacrifice. And he goes on to say, that's just your reasonable service. That's just your reasonable service. But this is the layout of this sin. I got the right to go where I want. I got the right to live the way I want. I got a right to do what I want. You sure do. Why, the blood's on the mercy seat. You got the right to do what you want. You can go where you want. Go to the beach and strip off. Tighten up them pants, sister, and shake that booty and have a good time. Amen. Just shake that thing. Amen. Let the men flock after you. Let them look at you. Amen. Just go on, man, because this is your world. Amen. But let me tell you something. You're going to find yourself in a bed of adultery in hell. And every demon of hell will be ravishing you through all of eternity. And you're going to get sick of the shake. Amen. Go ahead and get that padded bra. Go ahead and pump some silicone into that chest. Get that cleavage showing. Flaunt it around in front of some men. You got the right. Man, this is people's rights, my sister. You got the right to do that. Go ahead. You got the right to go where you want to go. You got the right to do what you want. You got the right to go to whatever church you want, but you ain't following God. You don't make a decision of your church. You don't make a decision of nothing. You're a servant of God. And you say, here I am, Lord. Amen. When the Son of Man walked, he said, Lord, not my will, but your will. Amen. Let your will be done. He said, it's my will for you to walk down De La Rosa. It's my will that you walk down there and get spit upon. It's my will that you go down there and get your beard plucked. It's my will that you go down there and get flogged. Amen. It's my will. That's what he said. And he said, if this cup could pass, but nevertheless, let your will be done. You see, you're a servant, Brother John. You're a servant of God. Amen. You don't tell him what you're going to do. And when you do, you know what that is? It's an abomination in the eyes of God. Amen. That's why we got women pastors today, because they've taken over. That's why women are running the country. That's why the best pilot right now in the aviation world for aerobatics is a woman, because this is a woman's nation. That's why the Statue of Liberty's out there, because America's a woman's nation. Had to do with the bride to bring forth the heir to the throne. America's produced this right here. The products of the living God. The kingdom of God is being preached, and the kingdom of God is at hand, and we're preaching the word because the woman submitted herself unto God, amen, and brought forth the seed of life, amen. So we're the product, and you keep worshiping the woman, and you're going to go to hell, and you need to start worshiping God, the image of God, the living God, amen. Let's give him a hand. You need to learn who God is, amen. Hallelujah. You need to despise your image and let Jesus live, and then you'll find submission, amen. Y'all love the Lord? Do y'all love the Lord? You see, but this is a message that man hates. They hated it when Jesus preached it. They hated Jesus. Who do you think you are? You're just a mere man making yourself to be God. They said that's why they wanted to take up rocks to stone him. Because he was a mere man making himself to be God. That's what they say about me. Oh, that Brother Rob thinks he's God. Let me tell you about Brother Rob, what he thinks.
I think I'm the least of all. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. That God that you need to fear is living in me. You say, oh, I've been born again. I got Jesus living in my heart. The Bible said your heart's continually evil and wicked, and a man doesn't even know his own heart. And you say, well, I said the prayer, Billy Graham's. Billy Graham was one of the biggest devils in America. That'll really cut you there, won't it? Man, he's the most well-known evangelist America's ever produced. Sit under more presidents. I don't care how many the devil's set in front of. He's made twofold more the child of hell, according to the Bible. They said if they preach any other doctrine than Jesus preached, let them be accursed. That's why I say that. He didn't even preach Jesus' name, baptism. And he's the one that taught you, come down here in the altars and say this prayer after me. Oh, I confess you with my mouth, Jesus. The Bible said you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And the brother didn't teach him how to believe in their heart. He didn't teach them faith in God. He let them come in there in any condition that they wanted to be. And he said, say this prayer. And he said, you could leave now and you're saved. Don't let nobody tell you different. And they go back out into the smoking. They go back out into the drinking. They go back out into the whoring around. They go back out into the bars. They go back out. The Bible said the dog goes to the vomit. He would never call a son of God a dog. It's the pig that goes back to the mire. And when you go back to what you came from, you had never been born again. You had never been filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said you know the ones that are saved because they endure to the end. And the sons of God ain't in the bars. The sons of God ain't in the whorehouses. The sons of God ain't on drugs. The sons of God ain't buying their tobacco and alcohol. He gave us power, my friend. Power to come out of the world. There's some preaching I approve. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Come on. We're sons of God. We got the power over the enemy. He said we're more than conquerors, Brother Bo. We put the devil under our feet and we quit making excuses for weakness. Well, the doctor said I got stupidity. So I'm just stupid. I'm sorry. The doctor's a liar. Say, I'm Christ's son. I've got the mind of Christ. The thing with an unction to know all things. And I know my Lord and my God. And He's going to save my mind. He's going to preserve my mind and my thoughts. And I'm going to think about Him. And I'm going to love Him. Him on my mind all the time. And then you're going to start getting victory. The Bible said, think on these things. The things from above. The things that are virtuous and righteous. The things that are godly. But boy, when you get yourself involved, remember, that's the enemy of God. When it's all about you, about your job, about your wants, about your location, and about what you want to do, you are of the devil, thus saith the Lord. You are of your father, the devil. It ain't about you. It's about him. He said, give your life as a living sacrifice. I'm just telling you the entrance into the kingdom. Amen. Let me tell you something. Now listen to me. He said he's coming for his bride. Anybody read the Bible? He said he's coming for his bride. Okay, now let's say that I'm looking for one. I got me a beautiful bride over here that I love. Okay, but you know, what if back when I was a young man courting and my wife comes to me, my wife-to-be, and she says, well, listen, honey, I love you. And I'm going to be with you on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and Thursday. But Wednesday, I'm going to do what I want. And I'm going to go where I want. You know, and then over here on this day, I'm going to do what I want. Now, what kind of person would accept that, Brother Pete? What kind of man would accept that? Come on, tell me. Come on, I want to hear it. Distorted. A pervert. How about that? Perverts are distorted. Okay? I mean, there's these guys that are swapping wives now. They call it swinging. You know, come on. The only thing they're swinging is over a hell on a greased piece of grass. That's what they're swinging over. You know, come on. Bunch of perverts. That's what it is. We're in a wretched, adulterous, sinful generation full of snakes and vipers and hypocrites. That's America today. Lot was vexed in his soul because of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Brother Rob is vexed in my righteous soul about America right now and about what's going on in America and about your President Obama. He's Antichrist. Did you hear that?
Antichrist. You that are listening, he's Antichrist. Are you saying he's the Antichrist? I say he's got the spirit of the Antichrist. The Bible said there's many Antichrists among us. Many of them. It says when you don't believe that God is in the flesh, go read it for yourself. 1 John, the 4th chapter. If you don't believe that God is in the flesh, the Bible said you're Antichrist. But you're having troubles believing it's God in me. You don't want to listen to Brother Rob. Why? Because you're Antichrist. There ain't no God in the flesh. And I say it's the living God, the Word speaking to you. And you say, I don't believe it. You're Antichrist. Just go read it for yourself. But you're blind and been deceived. And you're puffed up in your own fleshly mind, and you think you know something when you don't know nothing whatsoever. That's all Bible. If you knew the Bible, you'd hear me quoting it all through the services. I've been preaching the Bible to you all night. I never left the grounds of the Bible one time. I got some Bible scholars in here. I never left the Word. It's the Word of God I'm called to preach. I'm not preaching some man's ideas. I'm preaching the unadulterated Word of God. Without weakness in power. Amen? You need to be careful. Satan's the master of deception. He's deceived America, the world. He deceived Eve. And he's got your mind being weighed in the balances. And you think that you're smarter than him. And you've got it all worked out. And he's just walking you right into the flames of eternal damnation. And you got a smile on your face. And then you're going to come before the Lord. And this is what he's going to say. New Testament doctrine. You're going to say, but God, I cast out devils in your name. But God, I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. And here's what he's going to say. It's in the Word. He said, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. When he said, I never knew you, you could say, now wait a minute, God. You said that you know every number of hair on my head. And you say that you know all things. How can you say you never knew me? That word knowing right there is the same word that Joseph did not know the Virgin Mary until after Jesus was born. He never had relations with her. She was a virgin until Jesus was born. Now the Catholic Church teaches Immaculate Mary of the Immaculate Conception, say that she was a virgin when she died. But she had other boys. Jesus had a brother from Mary. The Catholic Church is wrong. That's enough doctrine right there to run from them. Amen. It's enough doctrine when the pedophile's in the monkey booth, man, perverting your child and your son. Hope you're not Catholic, my friend. If you are, just come up here and I'll cast the devil out of you and you get born again. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, I don't play with devils. They're preaching another doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached. And you know what I'm going to tell you about the Baptists? They're doing the same thing, my friend. You know why? Because they're the daughters of the whore. I can show you that in the Bible. They're preaching Catholicism. They're preaching you that God's a three-person God. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm making a lot of friends tonight, ain't I, Brother Paul? Amen. You get these Trinitarians come in the house. Well, Brother Rob, you gotta love them. This is love. I'm exposing the errors that they're in for they can get born again and repent of God because they've been serving false gods. They're on dope because they've been serving false gods. They're alcoholics because they've been serving false gods. They're whoremongers. They can't keep wives. They can't keep a marriage. They can't keep themselves clean and they're stumbling around being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and they're gonna go to hell. So the preacher's called to preach the word and he exposes the sin and he said, come out of the world and be ye a separate people. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. This is love. This is love. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't like Paul. Jesus said when he came, he said, you killed all the prophets before me. Amen. And they still are. He said, they hated me first, they're going to hate you also. All you got to do is preach the word. Amen? You say, well, Jesus is love. Go read Matthew 10. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword to put the mama against her mother or the daughter and the father against the son and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. That's what he said. I'm paraphrasing. Go read it yourself.
And you think he's just this God that's just going to make everything perfect. No, let me tell you something. That's the sissified way. It takes men to serve Jesus. Amen. It takes men, devout men. Men that'll pray. Men that'll fast. Men that'll walk and keep themselves unspotted from the world. Men that don't want to be out in the baseball games. Men that don't want to be at the car races and at the air shows. They're going to serve their God. And they're going to separate from the world. Amen. The Bible said, come out of that world. Be ye a separate people. Amen. And but you know, the other religions in town are saying, hey, do what you want. Why? Because it's the same deception. The institutions of America or the churches of America have been taken over by the Antichrist mind. That's why we have TBN broadcasting. You understand that? The Trinity Broadcasting Network is owned and operated by the devil. And they allow the devil to come on there and preach. You say, brother, you're just going to tear up everything, aren't you? And I say, yeah, I'm trying to bring you to a revelation that it's a small flock and few be there that find it. And the righteous scarcely make it. You got to come to understand. If it was the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached on there, they would throw it off. They wouldn't let it in the airways. You understand that? I've been thrown off every radio station I've ever been on. You understand that? Why? Because they don't like the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You understand that? They don't like the preaching of the word. They didn't like it when Jesus done it. They didn't like it when John the Baptist done it. They didn't like it when the apostle Paul done it. They killed them all. They killed all the prophets. They killed every one of them. Amen. And now we got some sissy president up there. That's some queer out of the college system. Some feminine mind. And he's up there weakening our military right now. Taking away military bases, taking away aircraft, taking away everything. Why? Because he's Antichrist and he wants to see America destroyed, is what he's wanting to do. That's his sole initiative. And you say, you can't talk about that. That's the commander-in-chief of our country. He's Antichrist. You understand that? When John the Baptist exposed him, they beheaded him and took his head off. And that's what they want to do to Brother Rob, because I preach against sin. And Obama's the devil, and the Congress is of the devil, and all them monkeys up there that call themselves these judges or whatever over the superior courts and supreme courts are changing the laws of America. They're changing the Constitution of America that God-fearing men set, and they prayed and sought God and they made these laws, and you get some jerk that goes off to college for a while and you make him into a judge, and then you get some Antichrist president and he says, I'm going to appoint this man and he's going to defy the laws of the land. Amen. Those people are supposed to protect the Constitution because it was made from God-fearing people. But that's the same thing going on in your Bible colleges today. You send these preachers to Bible college and you teach them to defy the word. Well, that was for back then, Brother Rob. You see, women back in that day, they didn't have a nursery, so they told the woman to be silent in the church to keep little Freddie quiet. That's what he was saying, but they could be preachers. Do you hear that explanation? When you hear that explanation, listen close now. I'm going to explain it to you. That's the devil talking. I'm being nice. That's the devil talking. He said, I suffer not the woman to sup authority over the man. That's Bible. Pastoral position is an authoritative position. If you don't read that, still go home and read Romans 13, and maybe you'll get a revelation. He said he sent us with a sword. He said, don't hold it back from blood. You understand that? Do you realize that he gave the fivefold ministry the power to bless and to curse and to remit sin? I can show it to you in the Bible. And what you don't know, you know, your little sissy preacher told you that you can't judge. But that's because he's a devil. You understand that? That's because he's a devil. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged in the same matter. So you bring some ungodly judgment on somebody not considering the word, you're going to bring that judgment on your head. That's all same, but it didn't tell you not to judge. The Bible said ye that are spiritual judge all things. And the Bible said judgment begins right here in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. This is the judgment of Almighty God. And if you don't subject yourself to the judgment that you're hearing now, you're going to be the one that's going to stand before him and say, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, depart from me. I tell you what, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you shall go to hell unless you do fulfill the word. When God came and walked among men, he fulfilled baptism. Amen. And the thing is the last commission
commission he said. He said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That name is Jesus. The disciples fulfilled it. If you ain't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible said that's the only name. There's no other name. You understand that? That is the name of the Father, Jesus. That is the name of the Son, Jesus. He said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. He said, the same Spirit that's in me shall dwell in you. Amen. Shall dwell in you. And when you are full of the Holy Ghost, you got the living God in you. And He's walking in the earth today. He's up doing good. Amen. Seeking them in this world that He could bring good news and glad tidings to. Amen. That's what the sons of God do. They're led by the Spirit of God. They walk in the Spirit, but they're also here to bring judgment. He said He left the judgment for the Son. Amen. And the Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. He said, Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. I know some of you can't handle preaching and you've gone off to sleep and you sit there mocking the living God. But let me tell you something. I'm going to preach the word of God because I'm going to be there standing before you when He casts you into hell. And He's going to say, Brother Rob, I sent you to this woman. I sent you to this man. And he said, this is what you said. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, depart from me. And I'm going to make sure I'm clear in my heart. Because you're on your way to hell. And you're too stupid to repent and fall on your face before God. Amen. Let's give Him a hand. Amen. You mock Him and lightly esteem Him. Amen. Prove me wrong in this word. I challenge you on the internet. I've been doing this for years. On the radio, I said, I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. Show me in the word if I ain't preaching this gospel. And he yet to do it. I had a man come in this church. He gets up on the platform. You know, and they like flattery. Oh, thus saith the Lord. Y'all got you a man of God here. Oh, you got you a real true man of God. Amen. But you know what I was the next day? I was the devil. He said, it's a cult. He told some of the brethren in here, he said, you need to run from that church. So I just picked up the phone, called him up. And I said, sir, I heard that you said my pastor, Brother George, was a devil. I said, man, I've got his books and stuff in my church. And I've been giving these things out. I'm sending them into the prisons. I'm sending them all over the country. In other parts of the world. And I said, brother, please, if you know something I don't know, please come over and show me. Please come and open up one of his books and show me where he's in error somewhere, please. The guy said, oh, you figure it out for yourself. And I said, wait a minute, sir. I said, when you go to one of my brethren in my church and tell him that my pastor was of the devil and that I'm of the devil, you need to come in here and show me. And I said, furthermore, you got up on my platform and you prophesied. He prophesied. He said, oh, thus saith the Lord. You got you a real man of God. And I said, brother, now you're saying I'm of the devil? So I said, come back. I'm going to open up the sacred desk to you. And I'm going to let you get up behind this sacred desk. And I'm going to let you tell him where Brother Rob's an heir to the word. And where Brother George is. Oh, I'm not going to do that. You figured out yourself. You know why he wasn't going to do it? Because he didn't know nothing. And he was a devil. The devil came to kill, to steal, and destroy. The devil come to sow discord. The Bible said the thing God hates more than anything. He hates it more than the whore. He hates it more than the dope addict. He hates it more than all the things. He said it's sowing discord among the brethren. Because he knows that splits up the churches. Well, that guy ain't right. I'm not in agreement with him. If you're not in agreement with me, you're not in agreement with God if I'm preaching God's word. If you are in disagreement, you need to do what the Bible said. You go to that brother in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and you got to bring word. It's the word that sets us free. If Brother Rob's an heir of the Bible, you owe it to me if you're a scholar. If you're some kind of theologian, you owe it to me, my friend, to come to me with the word. Because I've done nothing but bring you word. Amen. Now, if you could challenge the word and you could come to me and say, well, brother, I'm going to receive you with love. You say, well, brother, the Bible says this. I said, I'm all ears. I'm all ears. And matter of fact, I'll give you the same opportunity I gave that other devil. I'll open up the sacred desk to you.
Man or woman alike, I will open this sacred desk up to you, and you can stand right here behind it, and I'll let you expose me and where I'm wrong in the Bible. But you're going to give me adequate time to go in the Word. And if you're right, I'll fall on my face before this congregation and repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. I've made mistakes before, but I don't have a spirit of error. And brethren, I'm going to tell you something. I got the fear of God, which some here don't. And I'm not going to speak outside of His Word. I speak strong. I may speak ignorant. I'm not polished. I may not be as perfected as you. But I'm not going to bow down to no devil. I'm going to preach God's Word. I'm going to preach it strong. And when you leave this church, you ain't going to be the first for sure. And you won't be the last. Because I'm called to run devils off. The Bible said we ought to separate the sheep from the goats. And when goats come in here, I first try to make sure that where the wolf comes in, I'm going to grab it by the hide and I'm going to yank it off. Oh, there's a sheep under there. I got me a sheep under here, man. Praise God. Amen. But if it's a wolf, I'm ready to fight. Amen. I know how to fight wolves. I'll tell you what. I know how to fight wolves. I know how to fight devils. Amen. I've been equipped with weapons of warfare that aren't carnal. I've been taught to fight against principalities and powers. You say, boy, you're something, ain't you? I'm nothing. I'm talking about the living God that lives in me. I'm talking about the conqueror, Jesus Christ, the mighty man of valor, the mighty powerful one. He lives in me, and the Bible said, greater is He that lives in me. Amen. If you could come to the revelation that I've been crucified with Jesus. Rob Coons went to the cross with Jesus Christ and died with Him. And the life that I now live in the flesh, the same thing the Apostle Paul said. The life that I now, that you see in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Galatians, the second chapter. And if you would understand that, then you would start listening and you would find love and life and strength and unity. We have something to offer you, and it's called eternal life. Let's give Him a hand. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together, saints of God. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in His own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. We read that the other night, didn't we, Ed? Y'all love the Lord? Thank you for coming to the house of God tonight. God loves you. Just repent of your evils, and He'll help you. Brother Rob, you're trying to run me off? No. I'm just trying to run the devil you're giving place off, and I want to keep you. Just rend the veil between the devil and you. I had to do that. Brother Andy, you had to do that. Brother Andy, you had to do that. Brother Ed, you had to do that. When Brother Ed first started coming to this church, he played guitar. I said, hey, Brother Ed, you smoke? Let me tell you his reply. This has been 20 years ago. He looked at me and he said, oh, I'm not going to hypocrite around about it, Brother Rob. Yeah, I smoke. And I said, make a decision. You're either going to smoke or play guitar. Which was it going to be? And he said, well, I want to play the guitar. And I said, okay, we laid hands on him and prayed for him. Amen. Guess what? He's been a non-smoker now for about 20 years, huh, Brother Edward? Amen. That's good. God's good, ain't He? Yeah, I have people that fight that. And I say, you think God's going to change your mortal body to immortality, but He ain't got enough strength to take smoking away from you? You know what I think about a man that can't quit smoking? I'm going to tell you, and this might offend you. You're a sissy. You need to pray to God and tell Him to give you some man. Say, God, give me some man. You know, I read in the Bible about these men of valor, these mighty men, conquering men. Amen? They put them into cages with lions. But I can't quit smoking. Come on, man. What's wrong with you? Quit confessing weakness. I could do all things through Christ. I got banged up in a motorcycle wreck. They had me pumped full of Oxycontin and Demerol. And morphine. I had so many broken bones, they gave me all this stuff. They had an epidural in me with the stuff going in, called Dilata. And then they said, you know, sir, I said, I don't like this stuff. I want, you got too many broken bones. And I said, I don't care. I don't like this stuff. I don't like what it does to my mind. It made me starving to death, but nothing tasted good. And I felt like I'd puke if I ate anything. That ain't no fun. I'm freezing cold and sweating at the same time. Does that make sense to anybody? That's what their dope does to you. Makes you double-minded. You didn't know if he was coming or going. Amen? And I told them, I said, no, I'll be off of this stuff. And they said, take you 6 months to get off of this. And we're going to have to put you on methadone. And I said, no, it ain't that way, sir. I said, I'll be off of it in 10 days. Oh, yeah, Brother Rob sweat. Brother Rob was sick. Brother Rob was up all night travailing. But you know, I've made a vow. I said, I'll be off this stuff in 10 days. Thus saith the Lord. And I fought and I wrestled all night long. And I didn't sleep a wink for 3 nights. I was going in delusions and stuff from sleep deprivation and hallucinating. But I kept on pressing. I said, I made a vow to God and I'm going to conquer this thing. And by the grace of God, amen, I conquered it. And I was drug free in 10 days. And the doctor, he didn't think it was going to happen. He said, you'll be back in my office begging me. But I didn't even go back. I was in Mexico preaching the gospel and helping needy people. Let's give Jesus a hand. That's what happens when a man don't play with God. And he gets determined, Brother Ed. He said, I could do all things through Christ. Amen. And you set your foot and you go for it. Amen. And you quit making excuses. My Bible said we're inexcusable, Brother John. Inexcusable. But you live in America full of excuses. Well, my mama was no good. Give me disability. You know? So back to the story about this woman. I said, is she working? No, she got disability. I said, what's wrong with her? You know, you tell me you're on disability. You've been in a car wreck, Brother Pete. And you got some busted up bones or maybe missing some things. You understand something like that? But you know what was wrong with her? She had a devil. And the government's given her money to have a devil, my friend. You know what they called the devil? They named that devil. They named the devil, Sister Stanley. They named the devil. The government of America is paying this woman to stay home because she's got a devil. You know what the devil's name is? Schizophrenia. She's schizophrenic. You know what the power of the Holy Ghost does to schizophrenic people? It runs it off. It says, get out of here, devil. Get out of her in Jesus' name. But no, the government's going to feed that thing. And they're going to go back. I don't want to get rid of this devil because I got me a free paycheck. I got me a nutso check, man, from Obama. And I got me Obamacare. It's the devil system. It's the beast system. It's the education of America. And it's the woman climbing up another way with her nudeness and her nakedness without the wedding garment on. They've climbed up and that's the product of it. A bunch of schizophrenic wackos sucking off the land. Somebody give Jesus a hand. Brother Rob Coons for president. Amen. You might like me as well as you do Trump, huh? Praise God. See, they don't like preaching like that. Well, Brother Rob, I know schizophrenic people. Yeah, you is one. Amen. So just shut your stinking schizophrenic mouth and get born again and get saved and fall on your face before God and run the devil off. All right, let's sing before I start preaching. I told you I wasn't bringing the sword out, John. I've almost kept it in. I haven't sorted, no, but I just slammed them with the sheath a few times. Got some knots on the head, but next week they're going to be beheaded. Help me, brother. Pray for me. Jesus is my... We ain't seen no preaching yet, have we, John?
And daily walk. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I am weak.
Fall in love with Jesus. You got nothing to fear. Just fall in love with Jesus. Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
If you just fall in love with Him and say, God, lead me, guide me, direct me, He'll help you, He'll love you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Amen. Praise God. But I'll tell you one thing. When you come to know Him and know His voice, He'll show you how to submit to His man and to His people and His children. Amen. The Bible said we submit one to another. Amen. I submit my life to you, my friend, continually. I submit my life to your needs, Brother Joe, to your needs, Sister Irene, to your needs, Brother John. I come to give my life as a living sacrifice. I come to serve, amen. I'm not asking you to serve me. I'm here to serve you. And I'm serving you tonight with manna from heaven, with the Word of God. The Bible said if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. So you need to learn how to judge yourself. You need how to look in the mirror, the Bible says. See if you be in the faith, amen.
Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
I'm going to say a couple of things. We're going to close service. The altars are open, amen. I'm going to get some of the brethren tomorrow. You're going to be here, John. I'm going to get this baptism tank cleaned out. There's some people here who need to fulfill the word by getting baptized. But don't come to be baptized if you're still smoking. Don't come to be baptized if you're still painting up your face. Don't come to be baptized when you're still wearing your tight-fitting jeans, boy or girl. Amen. The Bible teaches us how we dress. We dress modestly. There's a godly way. The Bible said, the great apostle said, he said, I baptize the dead. When you smoke means you ain't dead, my friend. When you drink, you ain't dead. The Bible said the woman's to be shamefaced. I know what that means. They don't. It means they don't project their image. Some of you men want to wear your goatees and stuff. The reason you do that, because you ain't shamefaced. You want to project your masculinity and want to project your image. Amen? I know where you're going to go. Jesus had a beard. That's what your theologians told you, ain't it? Because it said they plucked his beard. Amen? But while he was going through the courts and being passed back and forth between the Jews and between the Romans, they could have maybe got where they could. But I'm not going to contest the fact that he had a beard. Listen to me. I'm not going to contest that. Because Joseph had a beard when he was put into prison. But when they brought him back up, they shaved him clean. The Bible teaches that he was a pattern of Jesus. And when Jesus was crucified, when he came forth in the resurrections, the ones that walked with him every single day didn't recognize him. They said they walked with him and their heart burned within them and they knew it was him. And he had to show the nail prints in his hand. These were ones that were with Jesus and saw him every day. Amen? And let me help you a little bit more. The Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. New Testament doctrine, it's a shame. And you say Jesus had long hair. Amen? But the Bible goes on to say that he came in the image of sin. That's what the Bible says. He came in a sinful image. You know what he done with the sinful image, brother? He took it to the cross of Calvary and it was beaten. Backplowed like a field and beaten. And jammed thorns over his head. And they put him on a cross. And the Lord God, the Father said, if this is what I do to my only begotten Son, how much more so am I going to do to the ungodly and the sinner? That's what the Word of God says. And when he came forth in the resurrection, they didn't recognize him. Maybe it's because he didn't have a beard and long hair in the resurrection. Huh? And I'm a resurrected Son of God. The Bible said we are the children of the resurrection. And I'm clean shaved, my friend. Amen? Oh, I'm clean shaved too, but you're a devil. It don't matter about your whiskers. You're not understanding me. But we're here to win souls. And the Bible said, you that win souls are wise. And we remove the offenses out of the way for we can reach people. And when it's said to be shamefaced, it means you don't project your image. The man's to be grave. So this is what we do. The woman to dress in modest apparel. And you say, well, I think what I got on is modest. Your bikini's modest? Your short pants are modest?
When the Bible says it is an abomination for a woman to wear man's apparel. You see, that's why the gender issues are going on today in the courts. Well, I think you can go pee in that bathroom, little girl. That sounds crude to you, but that's what they're pushing in your legislation. They can choose what their gender is. Why? Because mama put on pants, and because mama cut her hair off, and the Bible said the woman's hair is the glory. Amen, and they cut it off. That's why they cut it off. Because the glory of God has been taken away from them. And Ichabod has been putting over the door of their temple. They cut their hair and they put on men's apparel, put on men's pants, men's clothing. Why? For they could be exposed. For they could be seen, my friend, of what they are. You see, you need to get in the Bible and learn the Word. I challenge you tonight again, in the name of my Lord Jesus, prove me wrong in this Word. If you heard something tonight and you don't think it's Bible, then you come to me and say, brother, I want to see that in the Bible. And I'll take time and I'll bring it to you. You hear me? I love you. The altars are open. We're going to close. Let's just gather together in the altars for a moment and worship the Lord as we close the service. It's what we call reaching for the lost, my friend. It's what we call travailing. The woman saved in travail, the Bible says. This is how we travail. We're travailing to see Christ formed in you. Amen. You're going to have to get out of your intellectual minds, get out of your human reasoning, get out of your own vanity, your own religion. And you're going to just have to fall on your face before God and say, Lord God, save my soul. Lord God, I repent of my sins. Lord God, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to wash me, to cleanse me. I ask you to save me, Lord God. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Ghost. I ask you to give me life, Lord God. That's why you need to cry out to God when you need him. You say, God, fill me with your Spirit. God, give me life. Oh, God, I repent. Amen. You have to repent. You must repent. You have to repent. Without repentance, you will not ever find God. So. So baby's not feeling well. The Bible said when they're sick among you to bring them forward in the church, anoint them with oil. That's the Bible. Amen. How many can believe with me? Come on, some of you, brother. We're going to pray for this baby. Come on, brother Bo. Come up here with me. Come on, brother John. This is your baby over here. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, mighty God, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, for the Word. I thank you for your Spirit, almighty God. And I thank you for the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And in Jesus' name, I pray for this baby right now. And I say, Satan, you're a liar and the father of all lies, and I rebuke you. In Jesus' name, I speak health and healing in Jesus' name. There's no virus in this child. There's no sickness in the name of my Lord and Savior. He had her in mind at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, let this sickness depart in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Touch this baby in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, la masiti ya shata de ma prasio toro maki. Ya se de de ma shindo ya ki siti. Oh, Lord, fill her with the antibiotics of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Gotta wait on the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, smile. Jesus made you whole. Say, thank you, Jesus.
You are so.
Say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
So pure and so fine.
Sharia talia sata di mokolia ki. Sida matale mashini di la mashetse ndrese. Kiri mati shata di mokolia si. Thank you, Jesus. Bible said if one speaks in tongues, there's no interpretation, to let him be silent. You understand that? I do. Amen. But the Bible also teaches praying the Holy Ghost, my friend. And we pray in another language, an angelic language. And it said that this mind of the man is unfruitful, but it girds up and builds up that innermost man, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's why we do that, and it's biblical. Amen. But if you want the interpretation, it's already gone forth. And it was speaking to you tonight before the foundation of the world. The unadulterated word of God. And it said you must be born again. And you won't have no part of his kingdom unless you be born again. And the Bible said that you must be born of the Spirit and of the water. Amen. And you must repent of your sins. Amen. And then the 3,000 that came, they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sin. If you haven't been baptized in the name of the Lord, we're going to get the tank cleaned up tomorrow. We'll have a baptism service Sunday afternoon. Amen. But go before the Lord. There's no need to baptize you unless you're dead. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. And then you say, well, I was baptized before when I was a child. And I said, well, praise God. The ones that were baptized by John the Baptist when the revelation of Jesus Christ came forth, you know what they did, Brother John? They went and got baptized in the name of Jesus. And for some of you Pentecostals, they got baptized with the Holy Ghost and don't think you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. The ones that got filled with the Holy Ghost at Cornelius' household, they went and fulfilled water baptism, every single one of them, and they got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when you're a Baptist and you went to the Baptist church way and they took you down to the water and they said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the Holy Ghost, that preacher lied to you, thus saith the Lord. Because Jesus told them how to baptize, and the disciples, the 11, were there when Jesus gave them the commission. Matthew 28:19 and 28:17, it said, the 11 disciples were there. One had already gone and hung himself that betrayed the Lord. But the 11 were there, and they heard what he said. And down there in the book of Acts, Peter said, repent, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And they were baptized in the name of my God. And there's no other name, the Bible said, given unto men, that thou shalt be saved. It's Jesus Christ, and it's Jesus and him alone. Your Baptist preacher will take you down, and he'll tell you that you need to pray in Jesus' name to get saved. You need to pray in Jesus' name to over your food. You need to do that. But when it comes time to remit your sin, he'll take you down there because the Catholic Pope lied to him. And he'll take him down there and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the name of the Son. There's no authority in the name Father. I'm a father, you're a father, he's a father. There's no authority in the name Father. There's no authority in the name Son. The Baptist preacher lied to you. You know why? Because his father's the devil, that's why. He needs to get born again. The Bible said when they're born again, they'll preach God's word. You say, you're too offensive, preacher. Well, the Baptists are leading them all to hell. You could smoke and be a Baptist. Come on now. You could strip off and go to the beach with your Baptist pastor and go to the swim parks. And God tells you what he thinks about that. But you're blind and you got blind leaders and you all fall in the ditch is what the Bible says. You need to quit listening to them lying preachers. And you need to find a man of God that'll preach God's word. A man of God that'll reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering, like the Bible says. You say, you think you're the only preacher? Absolutely not. I got some wonderful brothers in the Lord. There's some wonderful men of God around the world. But it's a small flock. I'm going to help you one more time with God's numbers, okay? They mocked Noah when he built the boat. They said they were given in marriage. They were all doing their own thing. They're, I got a business. I got this. I got that. They were run doing their own thing. And they went by and they mocked him and laughed at him like they do Brother Rob for preaching the gospel. They mocked me, brother, for preaching the word of God. They mocked me. Oh, that preacher, man, I'll tell you what, I got this thing worked out. I'm a scholar and they don't know the Bible no better than nothing. Amen. It ain't your scripture retention that saves you. It's the Holy Ghost, amen, the God's Spirit. That's what saves you. Amen. That's what sets you apart. That's what cleanses you. And you only get that by obedience. Repentance and obedience is the only way you get that. Amen? That's the only way it comes. Amen? And that's what we got to have. Brethren, I love you. I'm not against the whole world. I'm not against all the denominations. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. I said I was going to tell you God's word. In Noah's day, the whole world was flooded. The entire world was flooded. The entire world and all mankind was annihilated and killed. But there was eight in the boat. There's God's plan right there. The next one, when fire and brimstone came and destroyed them all, four came out. The next one, Joshua and Caleb went into Canaan. Only two out of the millions that came out. And this time it's only going to be the bone and bone and flesh of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, that many-membered body. But there is a way to become part of that many-membered body. There's only one way. And the Bible said you must be born again. And it goes on to tell you must be born of water and the Spirit. And you need to fulfill the word and be obedient to the word. Amen. And when you don't think you need to be baptized, when the Bible teaches very clear in Mark 16, amen, and it teaches. So you need to go and you get by. That water can't do nothing. I've been washed in the blood. And I said, if you've been washed in the blood, it cleansed you, amen, and made you pure that you could receive the word. And you won't reject the word of my Lord. And God walked among men, and he found time to get baptized. And I'll tell you what, Mr. High and Mighty, you'll find time to get baptized also. Amen. You'll find time to go and get baptized. Amen. And if you've been baptized in the name of titles, you'll find time to get it done right. And you'll get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's the only way it's done in the New Testament. The only way in the New Testament. There ain't no place. You show me one place where Jesus told the disciples, and they went and baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You show me one place in that Bible, I'll quit preaching. And I'll put Irene over this church. And you could be the co-pastor, Sister Kyriana. You want to help? There wasn't no part of that. I must be pretty confident, huh? You know I ain't going to hand this church to no woman. And if there is ever a virtuous woman, it's my wife. She's a godly woman. She loves the Lord. She's kept herself untainted from the world and unspotted. So if there was a woman worthy to preach the gospel, it'd be her. But you know what? It would be an abomination in the Lord for me to put her in as a pastor because it defies God's word. Amen? Because the woman was in a transgression, the Bible said. We read it in the third chapter. I was going to take you over in Timothy and read it to you again and show it. I was going to take you over in Ephesians and show it to you again where the woman was in the transgression, the fall, and God said that she was going to have to submit herself unto the headship of her husband for he could lead her into the kingdom of God because she messed things up because she's the weaker vessel. That's why we love our wives. That's why we cherish our wives. That's why we lead them, brother, in love. Just like God leads me in love. He loves me, embraces me. He picks me up when I fall. He cleans me up when I get dirty. Amen. Because my God loves me. And that's what I do to my wife. I don't beat her up and say, shut up, you're the weaker vessel. I'm the boss. I'm the caveman. You nothing but the woman, and drag her and beat her with a club. No, I don't do that. I know you would like to believe I do that, for you could walk in your own will and your own mind. But I don't do that. Maybe I should. No. Y'all love the Lord? Just teaching the word, brother. It's what we call reaching for souls, Brother John. Pouring our heart out. You say, I'm ready to go home. Well, if you know that somebody's going to leave here and go into hell, you wouldn't be so ready to go home. You say, preacher, pour your heart out. Pour your heart out. Help them, preacher. Help them. See them till come in and repent and fall on their face before God that they could be saved. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord? Praise you, Lord God. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. God's good. Amen. Take heed to the things that you hear. The Bible said, don't let them slip. Take heed. Take heed to the things you hear. Take heed. Amen. Let's sing All Praise Him as we close the service.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.